The Money Lady, that's Terry Savage joining us again. Hi, Terry. Welcome back.
Oh, good to be here. Lots going on.
Okay. I know there's a couple things top of mind for you. Where do you want to start today?
Oh, John, I'm going to leave that up to you. I know we have a lot of questions. Let me say a word about the stock market. Very interesting. We had news the first 2 days. I mean, first of all, everybody locked in the gains of the first quarter, the professional money managers who have to report. So they were up 10%. I think maybe they decided they'd take some of those profits Monday and Tuesday. There was also some nice concern that the economy is so strong that the Fed won't be able to cut rates. So that sent the market lower. Today, we had some weaker than expected news on one hand. And so there's a little bit of sense that rates might come down a bit. All of this is day to day. We're still within 1% of all time highs.
Yeah.
So that's
well,
that.
It's funny to me that after all the conversations I've had over the few years I've been doing this show, I still don't know the answer to this question. The economy is doing so good, you said, that the Fed may not cut rates. And I don't know if that's good news or bad news.
That is one of those cat chasing its tail kind of stories, or which came first, the chicken and the egg. It depends on where you are at the stage in the cycle. Right now, everybody like the smart money, has built in this thing. Remember when we started the year, will there be 5 cuts or will there be 6? Will they start in March? Will they do it every meeting? Will they get it done before the election? Now, today we had one Fed governor I was listening to this morning who said, we may only do 1 this year. And you could hear the world take a sigh. Oh, my gosh. So it depends. Everybody's happy the economy's doing well, concerned that all that good news is priced into existing prices near all-time highs, and also concerned that the Fed will still be worried about inflation. And the Fed, I think we just reported that Jay Powell said something to that effect. So the market's trying to sort that out.
Wasn't a yes or no, now was it?
It depends on where we are in the cycle, whether strong economy is good. I think if we were in a terrible recession and we got news that economic growth was growing and more people were getting unemployed, you'd say, oh, that's great, we're coming out of a recession. But what we're coming out of is sort of a Fed tightening period where everybody expected a recession and Fed loosening to offset it. And now the economy is good, that's great, but maybe the Fed won't cut rates. We wouldn't spend a lot of time talking about
it. Well, I was hoping that you would put it in terms of where I am in my retirement. Like, am I retired? Am I not retired at all? Am I, maybe income or age ranged? If the economy right now being strong is good for me or bad for me?
When the economy is strong, it's good for everybody. Okay. When there's inflation, it's bad for everybody, particularly those who are retired and living on fixed incomes, don't want to take risk, but know that their interest rates are not keeping up with their prices.
Understood. But right now, in fact, inflation is lower than the inflation
than it was, yeah.
And it's lower than income. Income has risen above the rate of inflation in the last
But not for everybody. Not for a lot of people listening in our audience who are saying, well, yeah, my Social Security check was up, but the things I buy, medical services and uncovered expenses like that, are going up even more. John, I wish I could draw a straight line. When you ask me by age, what should you be doing? My answer has not changed in 25, 30 years. When you're young, keep investing in the 401k. Your whatever you put in every month is going to buy more shares if prices go down. And if you believe in the future of America, you've got to be invested. Now, I've said that forever. I did that forever. It worked out. And we've been through some horrendous times in the last 30 years. But if you're older, this is it. This is not a stream anymore. This is your pool. You have to start taking money out at age 73. Markets decline and the pool water level in your pool goes down, and it's scary, which is why bulls, bears, and chickens, you set aside some chicken money. It doesn't get you rich, but won't get you poor. And today, 6-month T-bill still at 5.3%.
How about that? Terry, we got questions for you. You ready?
Sure, let's do it.
Hey, Terry Savage, this is Laura in Willowbrook. I've heard that people are supposed to be either getting a reverse mortgage or a home equity line if they have their house paid off. Is this true? I'm on Social Security, and that's my only form of income. I do have some stock dividends.
Laura, please wait till next week. I have just written and turned in a complete column on reverse mortgages. And there are a lot of things to consider. If you want to stay in your house, and you, it depends also on how old you are. The older you are, if you're on Social Security, we know in your late 60s or maybe in your 70s, the more money you can get out. Typically, it comes out either in a lump sum or line of credit. There are fees. And you can use that either if you still have a small mortgage to pay it off and then use it for things like roof repairs or a new furnace. But typically, when you start asking that question, you have to think, do I really, really want to remain in this home? Yeah, I do, but is this the moment while I'm healthy and capable to consider a different type of living? So please read the column. It'll be posted on Terry Savage next week, and it should answer all your questions, including a link to figure out how much you could get in a reverse mortgage. Don't take the money out of your home unless you need it, but a reverse mortgage is a way to let your home pay you back for investing it, create sort of a little pension for yourself.
She said, I've heard that people are supposed to be either getting a reverse mortgage,
and
supposed bothers me because you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. There's no sort of, yes, now that you've reached this point, you should start to draw the equity down on your home. Not necessarily, but it is a mother load for a lot of people. And if she's just living off of Social Security, the temptation, I think, is legitimate, right? It's not her being greedy or foolish with her money. That is a legitimate use of the equity of your home. That's not
a bad idea. John, I did one for my father, and he lived to be 95 until his last few days in his condo overlooking the ocean. And they'd send someone around, is he still alive? Is he still alive? Because he kept taking money. In those days, it was a kind where it paid you a monthly sum for the rest of your life, and you could still get that. And by then, he had taken out more than the condo was ever going to be worth. That's terrific. So I'm not against reverse mortgages, but you need independent counseling. You need to understand the costs and fees and the types of commitments you're getting. And you still need to be able to pay for the insurance and the rising property taxes and the upkeep of your home. So those are all considerations, and I crammed them all into 800 words in my column.
That'll be next week.
Next week. It'll be up on Terry Savage, probably over the weekend.
TerrySavage.com. It's 1223. What about you, Stephen? You're on with Terry. What can we do for you?
Well, I've got a question about Social Security benefits. My mom passed away on February 22nd, and she received her Social Security benefit a couple days later on March 1st by direct deposit. On the 27th of March, they reclaimed it. And I always thought that they, you know, they pay you for the a month late. So in my thinking, she should have been able to, you know, keep that payment instead of them taking it back.
Did she pass away in a hospital?
No, at home in the hospice.
In hospice. So they notify, if it's official hospice, they notify Social Security as of the date of her death. I want to tell you, I honestly don't know about whether she should have been allowed to keep that last month. They have her date of death. If you and it's such an interesting question, I'm going to check with my buddy Larry Kotlikoff, Social Security expert in all things, and find out exactly
when. I'm looking
at
all those books, and I couldn't find anything about it.
I can't give you the right answer, but I know Larry can give you the right answer. So post it at terrysavage.com on Ask Terry, and I'll call him up this evening and say what's the right answer.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, good luck. Terry is very good about following up on these things. Boy, that's not even a that's a pretty quick clawback, if you ask me.
Yeah, it is pretty quick. It is a pretty quick. And that's why I asked if she passed away in a hospital. Hospitals will notify Social Security, and they have the Social Security number, and they have Medicare and so forth that links with Social Security. But I just during the break, I'll look it up. But if I can't find the answer, I will check with Larry.
Can Terry provide some context as to how the current rate of inflation compares to the historical average?
The historical average, I happen to know this one because I use this chart in my speeches, over the long run, going back almost 100 years now, the average is 3%. So we're just about average right now, maybe a teeny bit below it. The Fed, of course, is trying to get it down to 2%, and that's why they're being so tough. But that's the average. But you all remember, some of you, in the early 80s, when inflation was 16%, when the prime rate, that was a big lending rate then, was 21%, when T-bills paid 13.5%, 14%, And when people like me took out a mortgage at 15%. So in times of inflation, interest rates rise to offset the declining value. And I also remember not that long ago, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, when interest rates on T-bills threatened to go negative. And in Europe, interest rates were negative. You had to pay the bank to hold your money and keep it safe. So that was when there was very concern about a global sucking sound that would be a great global depression.
Right.
So 3% is the historical average. But you know what they say about averages? The man standing with one foot in a bucket of ice water and the other foot in a bucket of boiling water says to you, on average, I feel fine.
I'm just thinking about inflation. If it wasn't for the 9% that we had a year or two ago, the 3% that we're hitting now wouldn't be so onerous to people. But that's the problem. It's not the inflation number now. Hello, Fed, are you listening? It is the inflation number 2 years ago, and we can't fix that right now.
Wait. There's two aspects to that. You made a great point. Let me divide that in half. Part of it is that we did have that inflation, and so that the price of everything from eggs to toilet paper that everybody buys is just still so much higher than we remember in recent memory 4 years ago. And it's kind of shocking. And stuff still goes up. I've been going out to dinner. I went to Panera with grandchildren, and I went, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
$49?
Well, I know. Isn't that amazing?
It's shocking. So it's not the current rate of growth. It's the accumulation of increased prices that, number one, we call inflation, and it scares you. But the second thing the Fed is looking at, more even than that, is, okay, we've got it down with the numbers just under 3%, but it's still smoldering. They're not convinced that it won't flare up. It's like the firefighters hang around after the fire is struck to make sure that those smoking embers don't reignite. That's what the Fed's doing.
Hey, Terry, how did they come up with the rate of inflation, 5%, 3%? How do they decide that?
Oh, that's the consumer price. Well, first of all, there are multiple ways to calculate the rate of inflation.
Right.
And the Fed uses something called the personal consumption index, personal consumption expenditures index, PCE. But the CPI, the consumer price index, is the most popular index. But there's all kinds of indices. It's not so much, and they each have their virtues or their exclusions. You've heard of CPI-X, that is without food and energy. That always makes me laugh because who lives without food and energy? But those are considered volatile elements that could be changed by something like the weather, some temporary condition. So they try to track the big basics without it. But these are federal government calculations.
And that second number is actually performing better, right, of late?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to remember what the last PCE index was. It was just last week. But the point is not so much the number, but the direction and the quickness of the move in that direction. That's what the Fed's watching.
This is Gretel. You're on WGN Radio. Gretel, how can we help you? You're on the air with Terry Savage.
Okay. I'm 84 years old, and I have IRA put into annuities, or let's see, I'll read it off the paper. It's called insurance and annuities. It's all IRAs, and it's never been taxed. What I was wondering, is it better to cash what I have in there and pay tax on it all, or just leave it in? Right now I'm in a fixed. It's all in stock, so you have...
Where you can't lose money, they told you.
Oh, well, I never asked that question because I'm not really into stock.
Wait, Greta?
Yes?
Let me ask you a question. This is in your IRA. Have you been taking required minimum distributions for the last decade?
That's all I take out of there. That's the only thing I take.
Okay, that's a yes.
Okay. It's very hard for me to give you an answer to that question without knowing a lot more about not just what the investments are inside your account, but what your living needs are and your cost of living. So I think
Yes.
So
I was going to say it's in a fixed account with a guaranteed rate.
Okay.
But it could stop tomorrow. It's not, guaranteed like your CDs and so forth.
Well, first of all, you don't want to take it all out at once and pay taxes. That's going to have an impact on your Medicare Part B premium. But I'd like someone who you could trust to look at your whole situation. I guess just one quick question. When's the last time you updated your will or living trust?
Oh, I don't have a living trust, but I just have updated that one, the one that I, the IRA one.
No, do you have a will? Have you made out a will?
No.
Okay, Terry.
Okay. I would like to get you into some very good hands. Do you go online, Greta?
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't have the internet.
Okay, stay on, and John, our wonderful producer, Pete Zimmerman, will collect your phone number, and I will call you afterward and talk to you, okay?
That's nice of you to do, Terry. And Pete,
hang
I'll let you guys
line.
Arrange that, but it's hard to do things these days if you're not either connected to the internet or comfortable with the internet and how to do it. And that describes a lot of people like Gretel. So
yes.
I appreciate her frustration. In general, though, the question of should I pay the taxes now or should I pay the taxes later, I think is germane to a lot of people, regardless of their situation.
Wait. Want to hear all the things that ran through my mind?
Okay, no.
I'll just do them real fast. Okay, what kind of annuity is this? What penalties are there? Who sold it to her? Who's the custodian for this IRA? How is she getting the RMDs? What exactly does she own?
Yeah.
Second of all was, what's her entire financial situation? And what does she need for income? And beyond that, when you get to be 84, I'm just so lucky I have my son who's in the investment business. Not there yet, but you have to have some plans made. So what I'm going to probably do is try and connect her with my friend Pam at WealthRamp.com and get her together with one of the certified, carefully vetted, fee-only fiduciary advisors. And she may not have enough assets to, really need a whole big financial plan, but she needs some trusted advice. If I could clone myself, John, into like 1,000 pieces, I would be that for every what I call my little old ladies who have no one to turn to.
Well, that's nice of you to put it that way. And you know who I was also thinking about? If she hasn't made out a will, then
Carrie Peck
would be a good one. And his first consultation is free. So
along
as well.
It's more than that. If all she has really is the IRA, then we just got to make sure she named a beneficiary for it. So that's why I asked about the will. So you ask one little question, it's like unraveling a thread in a sweater, and you pull and tug at that, and the whole thing comes apart unless it's carefully knitted together. Then it's one question. But there's a lot of questions revolving around, what do I do with my IRA money?
What about
in
this?
In general, don't take it all out. No. You'll pay ordinary income taxes, lose all future tax-deferred growth, and it could impact your Medicare premiums. You have a huge income bump in 1 year.
Hey, Terry, my father wants to get a reverse mortgage for $300,000. They bought the house 8 years ago for $188,000. He wants to give the kids the money now. They are in Sun City, Arizona.
No. Let me count the no's. No, I don't think you're going to be able to take $300,000 out of that, even if prices have doubled. Number two, it depends on your age, how much you're going to... No, I can think of a million no's. But the biggest no of all is, stop it, every one of you. I love my son, too, and my grandchildren. You hang on to your own money. You set up a revocable living trust. You hope to leave some to them, but you do not give away your money while you're alive, especially from your house. That's the biggest no of all. Don't let them do that.
312-981-7200. Let's update you on a couple of other things, including the business. Actually, we'll get to the business of food with Steve in a minute. First, another business update from Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Office vacancies have hit a new record high in the U.S. First quarter stats show the number at nearly 20% as more companies downsize their floor plans with employees working from home. Higher interest rates have also impacted the commercial real estate sector. The 19.8% office vacancy rate rose above historic peaks set in 1986 and 1991, and some analysts say it could go even higher. At the end of 2023, the downtown Chicago office vacancy rate stood at 23.8%. The outgoing Boeing CEO will also step down from his post on the Caterpillar board. Dave Calhoun is departing Boeing at the end of the year as the company deals with a safety crisis. The plane maker is also under increasing scrutiny from federal regulators over issues with its manufacturing process. A regulatory filing says Calhoun won't run for re-election at the Caterpillar shareholder meeting this year. The filing says the decision was not due to any disagreement with the company. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, now the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And we began hearing last week about dairy cows being infected with the bird flu, and now a human getting the bird flu from a dairy cow? On the phone to help us understand is a veterinarian, a cow doc.
That is correct.
More from him after I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Okay, we know the bird flu has been a nightmare for the poultry industry. What's it look like for the dairy industry?
Although it's concerning, the good news is that the virus does not affect cattle the way it does birds.
For one thing, and it's a big thing, the cows probably don't die.
In cattle, the virus, instead of being more respiratory, it appears to concentrate in the udder, makes cows quit eating, quit milking, and the milk turns really thick. And then some cows will have a fever, but not all.
Dr. Fred Gingrich is a veterinarian and executive director of the American Association of Bovine Practitioners. And for dairy farmers,
the immediate impacts right now are economic. Affected herds lose about 20% of their milk for 2 to 3 weeks, so that can be financially devastating to a business.
Yeah, not good for a business that runs on the margins anyway. But here's the biggie. Is it safe to eat and drink dairy products?
Our number one message is pasteurization has always made the milk supply safe and continues to make the milk supply safe.
The FDA and USDA agree no concerns about the safety of the commercial milk supply because that pasteurization cooks out the bacteria. But there is unpasteurized and raw milk out there.
Some states allow the consumption of unpasteurized raw milk.
Illinois is one of those.
And it is the position of AABP. That carries a risk for acquiring illness.
Yeah, raw milk is a hot-button issue among many people, but back to the cows and the dairy industry. How worried are you?
We're certainly concerned, but I think the good news is that if you look at the numbers right now, this is affecting, you know, less than 0.5% of the dairy farms in the U.S.
Yeah, the USDA agrees, saying there has been no impact on commercial milk supply. On the food calendar, it's National Chocolate Mousse Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
We're talking to Terry Savage on the Wintrust Business Lunch. The Money Lady's here to answer your questions. Ready for more questions?
Absolutely.
Since I was advised by Social Security to take my benefits too soon, can I now return the money and wait to take it later? If so, is there a time limitation as to when this can be done?
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to make a statement. Do not trust the information you get from Social Security about when to take your benefits, what your benefits should be. And it sounds like I'm hawking a product. I'm not. Larry Kotlikoff created MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com to give you the absolute correct answers on that. It's important if you're just an individual, very complex. If you're married and you both have benefits or one of you had public service, it's very, very complex. MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com costs $39. Larry's not making money on this. He gives you great support on it. You can return it within 1 year.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes, you can pay back the benefits within 1 year.
Terry and John, I'm signing my will at Carrie Peck's office next week. It's information I got from you guys at WGN Radio. Thank you. Well, we're happy to help. Kerry's another one of our regular guests and clients here, and he does a great service in that consultation.
My good buddy, too.
Yeah.
I always just check my Ask Terry questions about financial planning. Anyone who writes, I say in Chicago, if you're listening to WGN, you're close enough. I just put Kerry Peck up there. And there's a national website, search-attorneys.com, the website of the estate planning attorneys. You can search geographically. But in Chicago, Kerry's my go-to guy.
My question is, I'm 67 years old and still working. My wife wants me to take out $60,000 of my 401k to pay off the balance on my mortgage. Does that make sense, even though we're already paying double payments monthly?
No, it doesn't make sense unless your mortgage is above 7%. That might make sense. Don't do that.
People hate that mortgage hanging over them every month,
know.
Especially when they got money sitting right there.
I know, but let me tell you something. For my entire life, I said, pay down your mortgage, make double payments. I did that long ago. And that was my very basic principle of managing your money. And now most people don't even take the interest deduction because of the standard deduction increase, and you can only offset so much interest in property taxes. So now, especially 3 years ago, we talked about this.
Yeah, I know.
And I said, I don't care if you're 71 years old and buying a retirement home. Lock in a 3% mortgage. It's going to be the best deal you ever have. Well, I know this goes against the sense of I want to clear up my debt. Now, when you're in retirement, if you're paying it down, you're doing that comfortably, you're still working, hang on to the mortgage, especially if it's below 7%. If
below
it's
what
down
the money's
4 or 5%.
Isn't it, Terry, below what the money's earning? If you're getting 5% and the mortgage is 4%, then don't pay off the mortgage.
But if your mortgage is 5% and T-bills are 6% for 6 months anyway, it's still better for you to be continuing to have the money in your retirement account.
That's what I mean.
Grow tax deferred because, the average historical rate of return on the S&P 500 is 10%. We've had 10% the first quarter. So why would you just put that dead money into your house?
Well, there's plenty of people that refied and got under 4% mortgages.
Yeah.
But here's my point. I wonder if those people should even be making double payments because that money is coming out of something that's doing better than 4%.
I know this person said they're still working. I think that was part
they
of the
did.
Question. So you have the income coming in. So sure, pay it down, but don't pay it off by taking money out of your retirement plan.
We're out of time, Terry.
Oh, wow. That was fast.
You hear that little jingle in the background? That means it's time. Our time is up.
Oh, well, next week then, please.
Terry Savage comes here on Wednesdays, and she can also be reached at terrysavage.com, the syndicated financial columnist, answering your questions here and next Wednesday. Thank you, Terry.
Thanks, John.